This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This is Coffee with Timmy. Hi everyone, how are you doing? Happy New Year. Welcome back to Coffee with Timmy. I hope we started the year well and I hope it goes as much as you expect this year. So we've talked about career and what we're going to be doing and all of that in this new year. I hope you made your notes and you're doing what you're supposed to do. This first session, I think I want us to focus on family. So to start us off today, we're going to talk about intimacy. One thing that I've realized is that quite a number of people confuse intimacy with sex, and it's really not the same thing. There is intimacy with your children, intimacy with friends, intimacy with couples, which I think the last one is what most people focus on. But if you look at the meaning of intimacy, it's simply close familiarity. That's really what it's all, close friendship. We'll try and break it down with this couple. And I've chosen them because when I first saw them, and I know a very, very tiny bit about their history, and the tiny bit I knew was very interesting. What I expected to see when I finally met them, because I'd heard something about them before, and what I did see when I saw them was very different. Both of them don't look lovey-dovey, touchy-feely kind of people. But even now, oh, shame, you guys can't see him. You need to see the way the wife just looked at the husband. But it's those little things, you know, it's the touch, it's just a familiarity that is very interesting and that is inviting, should I say. So today I'm talking to Paco and Dineo Tulu. Did I get that right? Oh, okay, I can do the click sign and I can see Paco is shaking his head at me again. I really cannot do this. Okay, so they're going to introduce themselves to you. I know somebody's abusing me somewhere. She never gets the names right. I'm so sorry. So, Dineo, can you tell me your surname so I get it correct?
Hi, everyone. My name is Dineo. Which surname? The maiden surname.
Oh, my word.
It's Dineo Tlou, spelled T-L-O-U.
Okay. And with us is our husband.
Say hello, Paco. You introduced me, Paco.
Paco. Oh, okay. So I didn't even say that properly. Paco. Okay. This couple, if I say they're going to say, oh, yeah, she says everybody's amazing. I only know amazing people. So this couple, they're young couple, young, when I say young couple, as in I say married couple, but they've shown wisdom beyond their age, and they've shown wisdom that you don't really see in couples who are about the same age, you've been married for the length of, how long have you guys been married? Let me see. We're asking Paco, maybe he remembers. How long have you been married, Paco?
Since 2008.
Okay, you got it right. Since 2000.
No,
oh, you didn't get
years.
It right.
Ask him how many years.
How many years have you been married, Paco?
14.
They haven't been married 14 years. I don't know why he's saying that. Dineo, how long have you been married?
14 years.
You've been married 14 years?
Yeah.
Not that you've known each other 14 years.
No.
Oh, my word. Okay. I am totally wrong. Are you sure? You're pulling my legs, guys. No. Okay.
I can show you.
It's okay. Yeah, don't need to show me. Okay, so they've been married 14 years. Still, I thought it was shorter than her, but still, they in so many different areas. But for today, I'm just talking to them about intimacy. And I hope it shows in this interview what I mean by both of them, they have wisdom beyond their age. I'm not going to obviously ask their age in public. So let's go. Do you think, because I don't think it's so, but do you think sex is the same thing as intimacy? Let's start from there.
I think it's a part of physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. It's not the only aspect of intimacy. I personally think there are a lot of variables or aspects to intimacy. But if you go back to your definition of intimacy, close familiarity, friendship, a closeness that people have and that they develop over time, it can manifest in different ways. Right? Okay. You can have that physical intimacy, and even within the physical intimacy, there's levels of that intimacy to which sexual intimacy is part of.
Yeah.
But it's not the only type. It's just that as society,
that's what people focus on.
That's our main focus. Mm. So you would have that physical intimacy, you would have the emotional intimacy where there's that emotional connection. You're able to be comfortable enough to then communicate your feelings, and whether you're having a bad day, great day, this person is that person that you look forward to connecting with. But when you take it back to physical intimacy, there's a lot of layers. There's physical touch, there's the hugging, you know, there's just acknowledging people in terms of the sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a tap on the shoulder, it could be however way you wish to express it, but very far from sex.
Yes.
Because you can express that intimacy with children, with friends, with associates, with people that you know, even outside of a romantic
relationship. Yeah. You want to add to that, Paco?
No.
Okay, maybe I should say something. When you talk, because she's already, Danelle's touched on something. When you're talking about intimacy with your children, for example, or even with friends, the emotional is a really big part of it. Because I feel that I have to say this, but people don't think intimacy with your children means you are being a pedophile or you are assaulting your children or abusing your friendships. I think to say you are intimate with a friend, for example, for me, I think it's that I can be myself with this person. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter whether I've got my makeup on, doesn't matter whether I'm just waking up.
Yes.
I can be silly if I want to be. Yes, my emotions can be naked.
Yes.
And I also think to be intimate with a friend, it means they accept what you stand for. They understand what you stand for. They might not agree with you in some things, but that doesn't mean because I don't agree with you, we can't be friends.
Yes.
This is my stand on this and that's it. And I think when it comes to your children as well, to be there, to be present, not throwing money at everything, but when they fall down, you know, sometimes children cry. There's a cry that only mommy can fix, nobody else. It's a kind of intimacy. And then as your child or children get older, for you to be able to just sit down and just chat about whatever it is with them. Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's football, you know, they're watching football and you can sit with dad and not like, that is in the lounge. Then everybody runs away. Or more, you can see that my mom is coming. So that's also been intimate.
Yes.
Okay, good. So now, when we look at, and of course, when you agree with somebody emotionally, it also has to do with the mental state as well. Because I think those two things work together. Even though we give them different names, I mean, if I'm angry with someone, my brain is also not wired to receive that person right there and then.
Yes.
The same thing, if I'm lovey-dovey with someone, my brain is accepting. So if you tap me on the back, if I'm angry with you, I'll probably just shrug. And move your shoulder off.
Provoked.
Yes. But if I'm feeling nice, I love it to you.
Yes.
When you tap me on the shoulder, I'm more inclined to turn towards you than away from you. Okay. So I'm going to find it difficult to get words out of Paco, but I'm going to try. He's agreed to everything I'm saying, but he's not. When we talk about emotional intimacy with your spouse, what does it mean? Paco, I'm asking Paco to step.
I think we've already touched a bit on it, just in the sense of being naked, being willing to be seen as naked. So we'll leave it to the listener to appreciate what naked is here, not physically or without clothes. So for me, as we're talking, a lot of the stuff we've touched on, because when we got married, just going back to a bit of history, when we got married, it was just the two of us for quite a while. So if you've been married for 14 years, but the eldest is 8 years.
That's why I thought you were newly married.
It's because we took our time to really get to know each other. Here you try to figure out whether you should edit it or not. I'm doing that intentionally. You will figure it out. But it was very intentional because we knew that we needed to set some type of foundation for ourselves as a couple. There were certain things, all sorts of aspects, whether it's financial, whether it's career, there were certain things we were getting in place, but part of it is moving from being single to now being married and now having to appreciate somebody in your space, right? Mm-hmm. You're working hard to get out of your home, you know, study, get a job. Now you're on your own, not all of a sudden, but then you move from by yourself to now living with someone. Whereas some people, whether it's because that's just the way it is, but when we took our time to really know, okay, this is who this person is as my spouse. You know, this is their routine. This is their likes and their dislikes. And the reason I went through all of that is to just point out that there were certain, should I call it, baselines that we ensured were in place that have contributed to our intimacy, that have contributed to how we treat each other. The taking into account two different people raised quite differently, and now them having to form a new union and again having to make this work. Obviously you're not sitting there, it's like, what is intimacy for us? How do we make it work? Mm-hmm. But the point is, again, being in each other's space because of the type of relationship then contributes to, you know, that level of intimacy.
Okay. I actually do understand what you're saying, because I was told by someone, actually my sister, I can say, yeah, I'm talking about you. She said to me, she came on holiday, and after 3 days, she said to me that, I don't know, I was running out of mad, and I was like, what am I doing? You know? And I didn't understand what it is I was doing. And just 3 days ago, I think Christmas, we were talking with my brother, and she said, I don't know how to live with an adult. You see, I'm used to being by myself for so long, and then there was a child, there is a child, but I don't have an adult around me. So she said, you don't know how to live with an adult. So I can understand you wanting, and in my language they say, when you marry, your married home is a school. your marriage home is a school, because like you said, you're from, you've been brought up in a certain way, And it's even seemed...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Little things. Yes, like, I only eat fresh. I have to cook my food every day. And I know a friend who's house was like that. They cooked every single day. There was nothing like leftover in the fridge. You could eat. Maybe the kids will eat it, but daddy will never eat leftover. I used to like going to their house. They had fresh food every day. Yeah. But you see, this is what I was saying about at the age that you married, that must have been one for that kind of wisdom, like, okay, you know what? We need to find each other first. We need to level up on this. Mm-hmm. Where are we going? And there's some conversations that you actually even have to be, it's a sign of intimacy, I think, when you can talk about your finances without, let me not say, I make this money, or let me, you know, it's where you get to that point where you can say, okay, this is how much I make, how are we going to spend the money, you know, and I'm telling you, I don't have that trust. I've got trust issues when it comes to money, I cannot lie, and I'm always, always looking wonder. I know a couple, everybody, you know, the wife knows what the husband is doing with the money. I'm like, really? And they have each other's pin. I'm like, really? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen with me. But again, it has to do with how you grew up. And then when you did meet the person you were going to marry, you're like, okay, we have to talk about this first. So what you did within those first 4 or 5 years is something that some people will do before they get married.
Yes.
And some will not do it, or will do it and like, I'll change him, or I'll change that when we marry. And then they marry, they realize that, no, but I told you before, this is where I am, this is what we're going to do.
And that's the difference, right? Because we didn't really, I wouldn't say we did it, right? We were friends.
It's a story for another day.
It's a story for another day.
Okay, so they're coming back.
So we were friends. Mm-hmm. So we got to know each other as friends.
Okay. Right?
And we had then certain boundaries that we put in place because we were friends. And even when we decided to then continue
and move it forward,
we still had those friendship boundaries to try and protect ourselves.
Okay.
Right. So it was very important that after marriage, we built that foundation that he's talking about, because it wasn't like we dated for, you know, years, and, you know, we got to know certain things. So it was important for us to connect emotionally, to be able to really, really be naked and unashamed with everything, to say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I don't like, this is what I hate, this is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling down, I'm feeling, I don't like what you did, I don't like how you responded, I don't like, and it took time, because we obviously needed to also learn how to communicate with one another.
Yeah.
So I'm very to the point. I call a spade. Bago is very
diplomatic.
Yes, even I was going to say that without knowing.
Very diplomatic. Very diplomatic. So mm-hmm. in the way that he presents a matter,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I know. Start in Zimbabwe.
Before I get to Joburg. Yeah,
so those are some of the things that we had to learn, mm-hmm. and they were also part of the journey of us building that intimacy and that closeness. And
Okay, and were you not, this is a little bit off topic, did your family not stress you about children in those years?
Oh no, they did from day one.
Yeah, because I can just imagine.
Yeah, no, from day one.
What are you doing, Paco? What are you doing? She's not pregnant yet.
They even said they were.
I can imagine.
It was a prayer group. That was started because we were having problems.
Yes, there must be, okay. But are you happy that you took that time for yourself? I mean, was it, what would you advise? I mean, I think 4 years is long. I can, when I say 4 years is long, to know each other, but that maybe that's my impatient self. You know I'm impatient. You both know I'm impatient. So I would say, it's a long time, eh? If by 2 years we have not sorted out knowing who is who, then, you know, we need to think about
it. Yeah, so I think it wasn't, there were a lot of aspects at play, and we also got married very young. So that's something that you need to consider. So for us, we had time. We had time to say, let's plan our finances. Let's plan career-wise. Mm-hmm. Where do we want to be? Where do we see ourselves? Let's plan, try to get rid of debt.
If there was any.
Whatever debt.
I can't imagine this woman having any debt. You need to know her. Okay, go on.
Yes. So the debt at the time, I think, was the house and the cars then. Mm-hmm. So we looked at that. So that's why I'm saying there was a lot of aspects. I was also working, about an hour from home. Right. So I was traveling close to 200 kilometers a day. There were a lot of aspects that were at play, but we had a plan in the beginning. But I think the basis of it was to try and learn more about each other and to spend as much time as possible with each other. And I think that's around the time when we made some of very interesting
discoveries,
very in hindsight stupid decisions. But very interesting, you know, because we would literally say tomorrow.
I wish you could see Paco, he's smiling.
Yeah, because
he's remembering the decisions.
It's during that time when we would say, okay, no, Friday, let's go to Durban. Like, let's go. Do we have money? Yes, we have this one. Mm-hmm. It will be finished when we come back, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a time when we got to then understand who's more adventurous, who's this, who's that, who likes what, who's. Mm-hmm. And I think it helped. In hindsight, I don't know if 4 years was too long.
But it worked for you guys. Yeah, I mean, obviously, yes. it worked for you guys.
For us, yes.
And you got to know each other. So it was 4 years of discovery. It was four years of discovery.
Yes.
Because you know what? You said something, Dineo, that you didn't date for so long. Some people date for a long time.
Yeah.
And they marry and within a year, they're gone. And we're like, what happened? And it just says to me, while they were friends, they were dating, they were really not friends. Because if you're friends with someone, at one point you're going to disagree. Yeah. I need to know, is this disagreement, what we're disagreeing, is this issue big enough to scatter this friendship, or can we get over it? And if there's a disagreement like that, I know myself. Before, I would just scream, you know, I say everything out like immediately, and it's out, you know, and then I expect, okay, it's done, let's go on. But then the other person might not feel like that, you know. But now I've even changed to a worse place, I think, where I just I can't talk about it. When things happen, I need to go think about it, and then I'll decide, is it big enough an issue? You know, do you want to make an issue of it, or don't want to make an issue of it?
Yeah.
But so that 4 years gave you that time, you know. And I think finance is I don't know why I'm going back to finance a lot. Why am I going to finance? I think money's coming to us. Money's coming to us. I think finance is a big thing, because if you look at, which I'm going to go to, if you look at physical intimacy, finance can amper it. You know, it's not easy to be lovey-dovey when there's no food on the table, where we haven't paid the electricity bill. You know, my pastor back home used to say that he had a talk with a man one time, and he said, you come back from work, both of you, she goes to the kitchen, she makes food, you eat, washes, the girl shower, you get into bed, and then you want to hold her. He said, no, it doesn't work like that. She's just done everything. And then she came home and continued working. But during the day, you're going to make phone calls. You're going to send messages.
Yeah.
This wasn't before the day of mobile phones. Yeah, you call her during the day.
Yes.
If you can send something to her, you know, just So by the time don't even let her cook. Bring something back that you're going to eat, so she doesn't have to do any cooking. And so even when you want to touch her in bed, she's ready, you know, because you've been
she's
nice.
She's not tired.
Yes. Like, even if she's tired, she's going to make room for you for that day.
Yes.
Like, you know, you've been loving all that, you've been supportive and all of that. But finance, how do we get intimacy in finance? How do we get there?
So on our end, I do think while we don't know each other's pins, we do know. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to get into her internet banking.
You see, she knows. Dineo knows your pin. In case you don't know. Ah, did you hear that? That's what matters.
But that level of transparency, I think we went out of our way. Obviously, this is not prescriptive, as we wouldn't say couples do this, specifically. Mm-hmm. But for us, if you know that money is there, the money that's meant to be saved is there, that level of transparency, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't pull you away. So the other part is like the money that's being spent, this is where it's being spent, and it's being spent responsibly. So that can only contribute in a positive manner for intimacy. So again, while it would work for certain people to say, okay, I don't know how much he earns, but he's taking care of his half or of his bit. We didn't go that route. We sat down and said, this is, like you mentioned, how much you earn, this is how much I earn, this is what I do, this is what I'm taking care of, this is where the savings are, because she is the saver. So me knowing that as much as maybe a lot of the spending would come from my end, but I know that
you've got savings.
We have savings.
And it's our money, not
correct. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is the overarching thing, that is our it's our money. We are, if anything happens on any one end, it's us. It's not me.
It's not yours and mine.
It's not me saying I've done my part. If you can't deliver on your end, it's on you. So I think that transparency, I think in how we handled our finances, I think that contributed.
Mm. Want to add anything, Danielle?
Yeah, so I was going to say the way we handled it, just like Paco has mentioned, it's both of us knowing and being comfortable with, this is the money that's coming into our household, this is what's coming to our home, this is the money that's leaving the home, and the channels in which it is leaving the home and why. And also being transparent and saying, I remember in the beginning it seemed, maybe to onlookers, it seemed very petty, I think, or it seemed like one was controlling when one was at the shops. So Pap was an avid gamer and he would say, look, I want to buy a game, it's 1,000 rands. Do we have it? Do we not have it? Can I not? You know? If it's a no, it's a no. You must live with it.
Okay. Right? Did you live with it?
And it's the same on my side. No, and it's the same on my side. But I think it's about there not being any secrets, not being any surprises at any given point in time. Even if we enter into a transaction that goes wrong, it is something that we both committed to. It is something that we both agree to. So if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. It's fine. We learn, we move on. So we don't then have those back and forth to say, yeah, but it was your idea, yeah, but that was your friend, yeah, but that was, right? Because we are on that same page to say, if we're gonna jump and take a risk, we both agree that we're doing this or we're not doing this, right? And if the one party is not comfortable, then they either give their proxy to the other party to make their decision.
I like that. Is that a willing one or is your arm twisted?
So it is.
Yeah. No, and if you abdicate your responsibility, whatever happens, you can't come back and then blame the other party for the decision that they made.
Okay.
So I think the part that you know.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, touched on, it's always difficult to articulate the whole asking just to spend a certain amount. It's an asking. So like, for example, when you said, and did you live with it? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out the number of times you said no. Do you get what I mean?
Okay. So it's an accountability.
It's more an accountability thing than just than please say yes.
Please yeah. So she wasn't a controlling thing.
Correct. Yeah. So but that's what I'm saying. It becomes difficult to articulate, because if you just hear the words, you're asking, it sounds like you're asking for permission for everything. Of course, that's where the control comes in, but it doesn't play out like that.
Okay.
And I suppose you have to be maybe in that position to have that appreciation.
Yeah, I understand.
So yeah, that's why.
I think what some couples do is have a limit. You can, they give each other, okay, anything that is
correct,
say 1,000 and below, you don't need to tell me about it, you know, just go ahead and do it. But anything
like how many thousands then?
Yes. So but if it's going to cost 5,000, you know, there's going to be an amount where let's talk about it, you know. It's not
if it's 1,000 today, I didn't have to tell her.
Okay.
And then it's 1,000 tomorrow, I didn't have to tell her.
But I think by the time you're transparent enough with each other to make that decision, you won't do it like that, because that means you're not being honest.
Correct.
You know, that means you're not being honest. Mm-hmm. Because if you were,
correct,
it wouldn't have to. You don't have to say, okay, I'll take 1,000 today. I think by Friday I'll have enough to do what I want to do, because she's not going to know. No. But I like, for example, I know an old couple. They've been married for as long as I've been alive. And I remember Granny Pat saying that when they got married, I don't remember what year now, when they got married, our husband said, anything about 5 rand. So you know how things were then.
Yeah.
Anything about 5 rand, they had to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Anything about 5 rand, they had to talk about it. You know, obviously these days, if you say 5 rand, even your child will say, what am I going to buy for 5 rand?
Mm.
You know, so if you already have that, it's also an intimacy thing. I trust my husband enough not to be reckless. I trust my wife enough not to be reckless. When we say we have a joint account, I know he's not going to go and buy a Ferrari for his birthday, because actually it's our money and it's for us. No, you know, so it's been transparent, to use your word. What haven't I gone through?
And it also depends on the life cycle of where you are in terms of your relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, we were very stringent because we were still in the building phases.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to put certain things in place. We wanted to have paid the bond within 5 years and all of those things.
Ooh.
So we were literally counting, not every cent, but we were trying to
counting the beans.
Very, very prudent in how we spend money. So
correct.
That accountability was very important then, to say, yeah, well, it could be 500 rands, but in the greater scheme of things, what does it mean in terms of where we want to get to?
If we say, I really want to leave physical intimacy to the last, when you talk about mental intimacy, and I don't know if that's a word, or spiritual intimacy, well, how would you describe it? One, I think for anything to be spiritual, anything between a couple or between friends or even children, we've got, first of all, be believing the same thing, we need to start from there. True. You know, we need to start from there. We can have God is the universe. We need to know with God we're talking about. We need to start from there.
It needs to be clear.
So why not preaching? But I do strongly believe, and I believe my guests today also believe, we've got to come from the same faith, have the same belief if we're going to be a couple, or else it's not going to work. But spiritually, I'm asking this not because I believe it. Some people believe, let me be clear. I believe that the husband is the head of the house, right? And that the wife should be submissive. But I'm not saying only in certain things. I don't want to be spiritual about it. So when we talk about spiritual intimacy, what happens if you find that your wife has a deeper understanding of God? Because the truth of the matter is our relationship with God is different. Everybody has an individual relationship with God, right? And in some things, he or she might actually just have a deeper understanding of that. Does it become a problem? Because I see you guys as a couple where if there is something, even if there's a decision to make on finances, for example, let's pray about it. What if what you are getting and what he's getting is not the same thing? Which can happen if I'm trying to pray God to say yes to what I want. Mm. And not necessarily God, look at this issue for us, but this is what I want. How do you deal with that?
I don't think it's something that, in the way that you phrased it, I don't think it's something that I have personally had to wrestle with. In the way that you phrased it, that we do have instances where, so again, coming back to being married, also being of the same faith, and knowing that there is a calling and a, should I say, calling mm-hmm. / gifting, right? Upon number one, each and every believer, and then obviously in this case to the person that you're married to,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I knew that I was getting married to somebody who was gifted
in certain things.
In certain things, like for example, the prophetic side.
Okay.
Right. What I had to wrestle with was, am I listening to Dineo the prophet, or am I listening to Dineo
my wife?
My wife.
Did you use
the risk taker?
Oh, yes. Oh, she's a risk taker.
She's sometimes I say
what faith like a mustard seed.
Yes, she's a ceteris paribus. Everything remaining the same. there are no bumps. There are no. So if we do this by the end of this, we'll have this. You know,
and that's it.
The aunt, but this might go. You know, this way. This might go that way. So for me, as a husband and somebody married to this type of believer, that's where I had to make the distinction. So, but now going back to the question about being deep or whatever. So if I'm aware of a gifting, how do I not lean on that?
Okay.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. How do I then choose to say, no, I need to be deep too, let's say, or I need to also hear clearly. Whatever, right? So what might have happened before is maybe me not getting a, this is clearly the direction, whereas she might maybe have heard, this is clearly the direction. Mm-hmm. So again, having to defer to, is this Dineo or is it the prophet?
Prophet Dineo, do you use this to your advantage?
I don't know.
So... So for me it hasn't been a competition, but it's been more of a leaning into this is who she is, this is how I've got to know her as well as being part of the faith. So like I said, in the way that you initially articulated it, I've never really thought of it that way, but in the way, some of what I had to figure out is you know, am I agreeing with her as something that we want to work, or am I agreeing with her because she has had some type of direction, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's something that has worked well throughout our relationship, where we have had to define strengths.
Okay.
All right. So if I'm the strong one financially, I will assist in terms of direction. Not that there's no input from mm-hmm. the other party, mm-hmm. but I will assist in that. Mm-hmm. If there's a decision that needs to be made on anything electronic inside the house, I don't even bother. Right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So Paco will come present his case, tell me the advantages, the disadvantages, tell me why this one will be better, why this one will be.
Okay.
But I will then lean on you.
So basically, you lean on each other's strength. Yes.
I will then lean on
you. You acknowledge it and you lean on it.
And it's not something that would make the other feel inferior, that now my contribution is less because I don't have that kind of. Because that's why we are here to not just be a couple, but we're also here to complement each other, and to cover each other. So, so where I have weaknesses, he will probably be able to cover me there.
Okay.
And vice versa. So it's just about that.
This is working together.
Working together.
So you guys, you can't see them, but I really wish I had done a video of this, because slowly Dineo's and has moved to Oldies. And what I like about you two, when I see, I was on a Zoom call with you guys one time, and I was Pastor Dineo, I was sending messages, I think, to Dineo, okay, hey, leave him alone, you know? We're on Zoom, leave him alone. But you know, the thing is, it's not vulgar. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not what do they call it? Visible, something display of affection.
No, but the way we
something display of
it,
affection. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know why that just irritates me when I see it in public.
But
I don't know.
But there's nothing
it's
wrong.
I think maybe it's my age or it's me.
Upbringing.
I don't know.
Part of it is our
upbringing. A lot of it is upbringing. Yeah. A lot of what irritates me in the mall is upbringing. But it's peaceful. You know, it's restful. You know, some people, you can't be quiet with them. You keep feeling, I need to say something, because this silence is getting to me. But with the two of you, I feel like I can start reading and it doesn't bother anybody else. I know a lot of people who will say, what's wrong? You're not talking. I'm okay. Like, I don't want to talk, you know, but that doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. I just want to be. And is that what, when someone is with both of you, even when you're talking, mostly this irritates me. When people are talking a language I don't understand, I get annoyed, like, come, what are you doing? But I've never felt you're talking about me or you're trying to exclude me. You just have something you need to communicate to each other. You do it and then you pay attention to the person that is with you. And that's a beautiful thing to see. So I'm going to go to my final topic, which is physical intimacy. I believe that people who, for example, are commercial sex workers are not intimate with their partners. I don't think so. It would be a very difficult job to do otherwise, if they're intimate with every single person that comes through their door. Mm-hmm. But they do the job, because to them, it's a job in their head. They do the job and that's it. It's done. But when it comes to couples, the level... Let me just ask a question. How would you... Yes, because now I'm getting into dangerous waters for myself. So let me just ask a question. Is there or should there be a transparency in... I don't want to say physical intimacy, because then we're using that word when really it's not intimacy,
sexual
in sex.
Intimacy.
Yes, in sexual intimacy between a couple. Should there be transparency? I'll give an example. I know a friend, well, I haven't seen her in a while, so let me say I know a colleague who got married and they were just not on the same level, she and her husband. And she used to say, what can I do, and all of that. And we had, you know, single girls will have conversations and all of that. But her husband was one person who didn't see what he was doing wrong, because he's had girlfriends, according to him. And two, it now became a negative for her to know these things that she was talking about or wanted him to do. In the end, they had kids, but they divorced, you know. I didn't know, but when I read, I said it was a thing that was important to her. And to him, he thought he was fulfilling that. And she and I encouraged her to talk to him about it. But it was a very, I don't know, should I say traditional man or traditional African man? Or that? Nope. Mm-mm. You shouldn't, maybe you shouldn't know this. So you understand what I'm asking now. So how should there be transparency when it comes to sexual intimacy without, I mean, okay, that's just it. I'm going to just be all over the place.
In this case, is it transparency as in this is what I've done before, or is it transparency on this is where we are at with
I don't
our
think,
sexual...
Hey, I don't believe in that. This is where I'm coming from, hey?
No, yeah, I'm, yeah, no, I wanted to understand the question.
So I was going to say, as soon as we use the word intimacy, then we are implying that all will be bare for the sake of us building a close.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's what I'm saying.
So, definitely, because we're different people, we like different things, we are enticed by different things, all right? So it's very important to communicate what is working and what is not working, and then find ways to then make whatever is not working to work. And that is the part then of ensuring that both of you in your journey, you undertake some sort of constant exploration so that you can figure out what each person likes, so that each of you are mutually satisfied.
Okay. I think as well, if we approach it from not about me, well, making it about the person being satisfied before you, you know, placing their fulfillment when it comes to sexual intimacy before yours, because no, okay, so remember,
is that the guy or the girl?
So remember,
are you talking from the side of
mutual.
The man now?
Yeah, remember, it's mutual. No, in the statement, I will apply to
cross. Okay,
right. If I ensure that she is satisfying, I've done my part. I also need to recognize that for a guy, it's not as complex.
Okay.
Right? Whereas for ladies, it's a bit different. So you remember you mentioned the whole texting during the day, checking in, being supportive, right? And realizing that as a guy, personally...
No, men are very visual.
Yes,
we know
I'm,
that.
I'm not, you know, I'm not as bothered. But if I am concerned about her fulfillment, I will then ask those type of questions. I will put her fulfillment, knowing that on my end, now this is what would apply as opposed to a guy, knowing that my fulfillment is easier, in air quotes. How do I ensure that on her end, she's getting, you know,
but how do you bring up that question? How do you ask those questions?
For
how
anyone,
does that come up?
Maybe, yeah, because it I think it can be tricky for anyone who is not married yet. Please do not dismiss the need for premarital counseling.
Okay.
Because that will help you set some type of, you know, it will help you understand that this is what we're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And it will then air out again some of those, this is what I'm coming with when it comes to sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is what I'm, again, we're not looking for
Levis.
A list, yes, right?
To tick off. Okay.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But we're saying hey, when you do come into this, this is what is important for her. Does it make sense? This is what is important for him. Does it make sense? So remember now, it becomes more mutual. If I'm concerned about her fulfillment, she's concerned about my fulfillment.
Okay.
The whole point is fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Not everybody coming in for their own, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's also not it's not a bad thing to also ask for help. To seek help from other people. I'm not saying porn help.
Yes, please, not porn help. Not we porn are very help. Against porn.
Yes, not porn help. But I just remember when we first got married, a friend of ours had bought us a book. I think it's called Act of Marriage. Very graphic book, but written from a Christian perspective. So it's not vulgar, as you're saying, but very graphic, as in you understand what they mean.
Okay.
You understand. So
never heard of that. Do you still have it?
Yes, I think we still have it, or we might have borrowed it to.
No, you don't, listeners, you don't need to ask why I'm asking if they still have it. Just leave me to wonder about it.
Yes, so that book actually explains, it starts off with explaining the biology of a male, biology of a female, what this can do, what that can do, what this can do. But there needs to be willingness from both parties to say, this is where we're at, we don't know what we're doing. So let's start off, first of all, trying to understand
each other,
and all of that. And if it's not working, also be honest enough and be open enough to receive that feedback as well, to say,
So that's where that transparency is coming in again.
Yeah.
So if you're able to say, okay, I know the guy said that at counseling, or the book said that. Because the person that wrote the book, it's from people whatever knowledge they have. Yeah. That's not working really, you know?
Yeah, so you asked how that can be done.
Yeah, that so conversation.
I'm hoping this is practical, right?
Okay.
You are listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you'll be able to say, hey, partner, hey, spouse, there's this section
we need to listen
in
to.
In the podcast, it is at this many minute mark. Can I get your thoughts on that? That's how we spark a conversation, right? What do you think? He said this. What do you think about it? I think I can agree with it, but like for example, right, this will apply everywhere, just to go back a bit. Somebody is like, the way they do their finances, that would never work for us, But you spark the conversation. Oh, this is how they do it. This is how we do it. Are there merits to how they do it? Are they, demerits? Mm-hmm. Now, going back to this particular one, he mentioned he's concerned about her satisfaction. Does it cross your mind? What crosses your mind when so I think that is an avenue.
Okay. But for every relationship to work, it doesn't matter what aspect of the relationship we're talking about. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about finances, we're talking about physical intimacy or sexual intimacy, we're talking about how you relate or how you relate with your kids, how you run your home. For anything to work, there needs to be open and honest conversations and discussions, right? Obviously, they still need to be done in a respectful manner so that the other person also doesn't feel like they're being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to be able to grow and to mature in your relationship and to also have the intimacy that I think we should all desire, well, I desire it, then we need to be able to have those open and frank conversations. If you don't like something, you don't like it. You can't pretend your whole life. You're going to be with this person your whole life. It's a very long time.
It's a very long time,
It's a very, very long time.
Yeah. So, go on.
And being able to be vulnerable with the other person is a very important part of, especially.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I was going to say, okay, that's it. I'm going to end with what Danielle just said. But from something he said now, something came to my head. Some people and I don't want to say just men, because I know of a woman who also does this, they try to solve an argument with sex and say, sex after an argument is, it's just sweeping things under the carpet, because you haven't solved what started that argument. And the husband, these are people that I know, the husband said, hey, she was willing, you know, I'm not going to say no. Because also when she's angry, she says no. But when she's the one on the wrong side, instead of saying sorry, she does the thing that she knows, okay, this is going to lead to the bedroom, and she thinks that's the end of the conversation. But it's just building up, like, no, it has not been resolved, you know. So even though you know this person, you know what their quirks and stuff is, it's not for you to then use that against them. It's for you to build a closer relationship.
I think one of the people that was mentoring us before we got married once said that we should never ever solve issues on the mattress.
So that's a very clean way of saying it. Yeah.
She said it.
That's a very clean way of saying it. Yeah.
But she said, sort out the issues first. Right? But don't assume that just because 1, 2, 3 has happened, then are we all forgotten? Because then it will happen again.
Wise woman.
And again. Mm-hmm. And again. And again.
Okay.
Yeah. Last I think words, it's Michael. Also in it's also in having those type of difficult conversations. Again, it doesn't matter maybe what they're about, but again, being able to have those type of conversations, they do bring you closer together. As in, we have a difficult conversation, again, whether it was about sexual intimacy or not. After having the conversation and feeling like you were heard, you were accommodated, you do want to, you know, get closer. Whether it leads to sex or not, it's a different story. But the whole point is, addressing the issue does get you guys closer.
Yeah, but don't address the issue on the mattress, guys.
So the addressing on the, yeah, like you were saying, is sweeping it. Dismissing it, yeah. And just jumping to.
Oh dear! Oh, this has been. This has taken me a long time to get this couple to sit down because they're busy. They're busy, hey. And one of the things that, in fact, in fixing a time for this, Paco said, just ask Dineo. Whatever time Dineo gives you, it's fine with me. And that's, it's also knowing each other, you know. It's knowing each other. It's not saying, Dineo, we're seeing Temi on so-and-so day, and that's the end of it. But so we finally got here, and I think it was the best time. I think this is the right time, because, like I said, I do want to focus on family for the fourth quarter of next year, because of quite a number of things, depression going on, people committing suicide and all of that. And I think we need to go back into the family and take back what COVID took from us. I think we need to go back. So thank you, Paco and Dineo. As thank you. This has been Coffee with Temi. See you next time.